6 days out of seven I stay busy, working hard from dawn to setting sun. By Saturday night when I finally hit my pillow, I'm dreaming of the day to come. Oh, it's the only one. When I get to rise and shine and go to church, singing old hymns each and every verse, pot roasted around the family table, bowing our heads telling God we're grateful. No way I'm gonna rush, spending time with the ones I love. I'm gonna live this day for all it's worth. It's all in a Sunday's work. It was on a Sunday morning I found Jesus. 2 weeks later in the creek I got baptized. Just last summer I knelt down at the altar by my daughter's side. Oh, what a moment, what a time, when I get to rise and shine and go to church, singing old hymns, teaching every verse, pot roasted around the family table, bowing our heads till it got for grateful. No way I'm gonna rush, spending time with the ones I love. I'm gonna live this day for all it's worth. It's all in a Sunday's work. This busy day of rest goes by so fast. I wish somehow that I could make it last. When I get to rise and shine and go to church, singing old hymns each and every verse, pot roasted around the family table, bowing our heads telling God we're grateful. No way I'm gonna rush, spending time with the ones I love. I'm gonna singing old hymns each and every verse, pot roasting around the family table, bowing our heads telling God we're grateful. No way I'm gonna rush, spending time with the ones I love. I'm gonna live this day for all it's worth. It's all in a Sunday's worth. All in a Sunday's worth. This busy day of rest goes by so fast. Sunday's work.
Rise and shine, go to church.
It's all in a Sunday's work.
Welcome to the radio ministry of Trinity United Methodist Church of Seymour, Indiana, on this last Sunday of March. I want to thank our radio sponsor for this broadcast, Sandy Hall, in honor of Jordan's birthday. If you have a Bible handy, I invite you to open it to the letter of 2 Peter. I'll be reading there in chapter 1, verses 10 and 11 from the New International Version. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 10 and 11. Therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never fall, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The Word of God for the people of God. Join me in prayer, please. Lord, today you are drawing us even closer to you, as a parent beckons a beloved child. You have a message to share with us that can strengthen our faith and ultimately our relationship with you. So, Lord, open our ears, our minds, and our hearts to the work of your Spirit within us. We pray all this in Christ's holy name. Amen. We continue during the season of Lent to celebrate the birthday, the 200th birthday of songwriter Fanny Crosby. In fact, her birthday was last week on the 24th. And one thing we have discovered as we've looked at some of her songs is that she is a very versatile songwriter. Last Sunday, If you got to listen to that broadcast, you heard about the song, Rescue the Perishing. Its focus in that song was all on you. She was telling the song, or the one singing, you need to rescue. You care. You weep. You lift up. It is always all about the one singing and what you needed to be doing. But this song today that I'm going to share with you is not about you. It's about I. It's about me. It's a personal song. And the first line, which has the title in it, is, I am thine, O Lord. I have heard thy voice, and it told thy love to me. It's a song about a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. A song meant for those who know Jesus, who walk with him daily. The song itself was written back in 1874. And as you look through the verses, you'll notice there are really no obvious scripture references in it. But you'll discover the theme of the whole song is in the chorus. And that chorus relates quite well to one scripture out of Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22, where the writer says, let us draw near. And apparently Fanny took that sentiment, let us draw nearer to our Lord. So let's look at the verses and gather what we can out of this song. In verse 1, she describes how the believer wants to rise in faith, wants to draw closer to Jesus. In other words, they're not satisfied with their present relationship with Christ. They want more. Can we relate to that feeling? Do we feel that our relationship with Jesus could be stronger? I think most of us would say yes. So what would we gain if we did draw nearer to Christ than where we are now? Perhaps if we drew nearer, we might find more peace in the midst of this crisis we're all facing today. If we drew nearer, maybe we would be able to focus more on our blessings, the ways God is taking care of us. If we drew closer, maybe we would have more of a hunger for God's Word, to know what God has said to us. If we drew nearer, maybe our gratitude for all God has done would increase. If we drew closer to God, maybe we would notice more the nudgings that God gives us in what to do or what to say. Maybe we would notice God's guidance even better. If we drew nearer to God, maybe our generosity would increase. Maybe our desire would increase to take opportunities to serve those in need. So many blessings, so many things could happen and be a blessing to us if we could draw nearer to Christ. In fact, in these days of social separation, we do have opportunities to draw nearer than we ever have before. God has given us perhaps an opportunity to pray more, to really become prayer warriors. Perhaps we have now an opportunity to study the Word more. Maybe we have more time for us to read those books about those who can encourage us and share their faith with us. Perhaps this is an opportunity, a season for us to actually create cards and send them through the mail to those who really need to hear words of encouragement. Those might be our neighbors, might be family members far away. I think especially today, those who need some encouraging words are those on the front lines of this crisis, those EMTs, those working in the fire service, those in the police or in the sheriff's department, and especially those in the hospitals. What a blessing it would be if they'd receive bags of mail, cards of encouragement. At the same time, perhaps if you are able, this is a good time to offer special gifts. Maybe gifts of food, maybe gifts of gift cards. You can include in those cards that you send to those who are dealing with this crisis firsthand. And perhaps we have an opportunity now to do something we haven't done for a long time. Actually make phone calls. Actually call someone up and see how they're doing. Check on them. Check on their families. You know, this crisis could be a blessing in disguise for the church, for our communities, as we now have to be creative, as we now have an opportunity to show our caring and not just talk about it. So in verse 1, the encouragement, drawing closer than ever before. And then in verse 2, it begins with, consecrate me now to thy service, Lord. We who believe in Christ want to serve, and Fanny reminds us that we do so with Jesus' power and with Jesus' hope. And for me, this comment about consecrating us to service fits well with the scripture read this morning from 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10, where the writer says, make your calling and election sure. Make it sure. Make it evident. Make sure people know who has called you and what you are doing. Fanny Crosby made sure people knew what she stood for. She gave abundant evidence what was important to her. Very early in her life, she, of course, supported education for the blind. As she benefited from it, she wanted others who were blind to gain that education, to have the country stand behind that education. Back in the year 1846, when she was just in her mid-20s, she became the first woman ever to speak in the U.S. Senate. You can imagine that was a momentous day. And she spoke on behalf of education for those who are blind. And then in the next decade or so, she, of course, as a New York girl, was very pro-union. And as warfare broke out, she wrote many poems supporting the Union cause, encouraging those in the North to continue to press on. Then after the Civil War was ended, Fanny spent a lot of time at rescue missions there in New York. She wanted to be with the people who were dealing with the worst of situations. And of course, then during the last half of her life, her calling was to also write songs, to share encouraging songs with the church and with Christians. Fanny made it very obvious what her consecrated service was. So what is our calling? What do you think we have been consecrated to do? Maybe you feel that Christ has consecrated you to be involved in healthcare. Maybe you feel Christ has consecrated you to be involved in politics for the good of our country. Maybe you feel you've been consecrated into community service in whatever form or fashion that would be. Maybe you've been consecrated to work in a factory, knowing that what you are doing is making a difference somehow. If we see ourselves as consecrated by Christ, then we will definitely see our task more as ministries than as jobs. We'll see that what we're doing is important and that Christ has called us to that ministry. I want to tell you about a woman named Jean who found her task. Jean had felt consecrated for many years to be a missionary. She served for decades in Kenya, in Uganda. She made it to Ecuador to serve. She even served in Poland. She had a long career in serving in foreign lands. But then Jean was diagnosed with cancer, and she had to return to the States for treatment. For 2 years, she went through her cancer treatment. And all through that time, she kept wondering, "Now, Lord, what do I do? I definitely can't go back to the mission field. I'm still dealing with this cancer. So now, what is your task for me?" Well, Jean, after some of her treatment was finished, had an opportunity to go back to her hometown. She hadn't been there in a long time, but she had 4 weeks to spend. She looked up her old friends, and you know what she found? She found many of them were disabled. Some of them were in nursing homes now. Some of them were disabled or hurting. Some of them were in the hospital even. And some of them were just dealing with the aches and pains of old age. Well, Jean made it a point to go see them wherever they were. Some she would go to eat lunch with in the nursing home. Some she was able to take out to go out to a restaurant. And as she finished up her time at her hometown, she began to realize what God was asking of her in the next chapter of life. She went home and decided she could find great joy in volunteering to drive cancer patients to their treatments. And she loved it. That trip to her hometown had awakened her to a fact that God was consecrating her to take care of others. And this she saw as her ministry. Now she could take care of those who really needed her. And she could understand their situation. Even though she wasn't disabled, either physically or mentally by her cancer at that time, she could help others who were having to deal with the things that she knew very well. She felt consecrated again to serve her Lord. Well, let's look at verse 3. Verse 3 reminds us that we don't pursue our calling in our own strength or in our own plans. We serve most effectively on the foundation of prayer. In that verse, Fanny expresses the delight of prayer. Certainly, without the distractions of her sight, she found it very easy, more than many of us probably, in being able to be in prayer. But think about the benefits of prayer. It gives us perhaps a deeper love for Christ as we come to Him and realize what He's done for us. Prayer gives us encouragement. As we pray, we realize that Christ is for us and that we are never alone. In prayer, we find it possible to gain a stronger trust as we feel Christ's presence, as we hear His words and know that we're not in this alone. As we pray, we discover even more guidance. Christ continued to point us to the task that He wants us to do. In fact, near the end of that verse, Fanny makes a remarkable statement. She says, "In prayer, we commune as friend with friend." When I read that, I'm reminded of what Jesus said in John chapter 15, verse 14, when He looked at His followers then and said, "You are my friends." Isn't it incredible that Christ looks at us as a friend? And He definitely becomes our greatest friend. Let me tell you Helen's story about prayer. Helen was a woman who, as a youngster, had to suffer through polio. And then it was 51 years later when polio returned. She had to deal with post-polio symptoms and it took a toll on Helen. Helen suddenly found herself so weak she could barely get out of bed. Her husband had to take care of her every need. And she felt so useless, laying in that bed, just barely able to move. And of course, in her times of prayer with the Lord, she'd ask, "What good is life now for me? I can't even take care of myself. What can I do for you?" Well, one night, Helen had a vivid dream. She dreamt that she was standing and there were children, flocks of children coming to her. And she would lay her hands on each child's head and say a prayer for them. When she awakened, this dream was still very vivid in her memory. And she asked the Lord in prayer, "Is this what I'm to do? Are you trying to tell me that children are my ministry now? Praying for children?" So she took that as a sign. And as she would continue to watch television, she'd watch the news sometimes, and there would be children who were told to be missing. There were children whose father had been killed in Iraq. There were children who were hungry or on the streets. In each story that dealt with children, Helen realized they need somebody to pray for them. They need a friend in prayer. And so Helen began to take her ministry seriously. She prayed for the children she heard about on the news. She prayed for her own grandchildren. She prayed for the children of her neighbors. She would look through the list of her church family and pray for the children. She became a children's advocate. And for those 3 months when she was confined to her bed, she knew what her ministry was and what a blessing it was to her to find purpose in life in praying, lifting up children, and allowing the love of Christ to touch them. She continued to be a prayer warrior even after she got out of the bed and got her strength back. But it was through that event she discovered prayer was what God was calling her to do. Prayer with her friend. Well, in the last verse of this song, we discover that the need for prayer and the need for service will sometime come to an end. We are all headed toward the goal of heaven, and Fanny reminds us that when we reach heaven, our love will be complete. Our joy will be complete. There won't be a need for prayer or for service. All that will remain will be enjoying a relationship with our Savior. But friends, until that time comes, how does your heart connect with this song? How does your heart connect with this song? Are you right now sensing that desire to draw closer to Christ, that you want more of your relationship? You want to be more in tune with what Christ wants to do in your life. Maybe that's your connection. Or perhaps your connection is pursuing your calling, your ministry. What you believe God has consecrated you to do, you're looking for God to continue encouraging you. Or maybe you're one of those who don't really know what your calling is. You're still looking, like Gene was looking for a while, wondering, "God, what do you want of me? What do you want me to do to serve you?" Or perhaps this song connects with you because you want more out of prayer. You want to truly find yourself communing with your best friend. That you just don't make quick prayers to God, but you want to speak to your friend. You want to share your heart with him and hear Christ speaking with you. Maybe that's how this song connects with you. Whatever way this song might connect with you today, let your answer to any of these questions start with the confession that the song begins with. I am thine, O Lord. And once you confess that you belong to Christ, you will probably want to draw nearer. You will want to pursue the ministry He's given you. You'll want to be communing with your best friend. I am thine, O Lord, says it all. Start there and see how much closer He will draw you to Himself. Let's come to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this song, this very personal, heart-touching song that reminds us that we belong to You, that You have so much for us, that You want to be in our lives, that You want such an intimate relationship with us. Thank You for the encouragement this song gives us. Thank You for the words Fanny penned so long ago that still touch our hearts and encourage us to draw closer and closer to You every day. Lord, hear the words of our hearts. Hear our prayers. Continue drawing us near. We ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Now, many of you I know who are listening have this song in front of you. And so again, if you are by yourself, you can sing a rousing solo as we play the song. Or if you have several listening, be a good choir. Just start singing together and enjoy this song. We're going to play it through and allow you to listen to it and give you the chance to sing along. I am thine, O Lord.